Since
our reading this morning is from Galatians 4, verses 4 to 7.
Yeah, point it at your mouth, please. Yep.
Our reading this morning comes from Galatians. Is that better?
Yep.
No. Our reading this morning comes from Galatians 4, verses 4 to 7. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, in order to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as children. And because you are children, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a child. And if a child, then also an heir through God.
Yep.
Our gospel reading is from Luke chapter 2, commencing at verse 22. When the time came for their purification, according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male child shall be designated as holy of the Lord. And they offered a sacrifice according to what is stated in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, looking forward to the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit rested on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Guided by the Spirit, Simeon came into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what was customary under the law, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people of Israel. And the child's father and mother were amazed at what was being said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to his mother Mary, this child is destined for the falling and the rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be opposed, so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too. There was also a prophet, Anna, daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age, having lived with her husband for 7 years after their marriage, then as a widow to the age of 84. She never left the temple but worshipped there with fasting and prayer, night and day. At the moment she came and began to praise God and to speak about the child to all who were looking for the redemption of Israel. When they had finished everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. The child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favour of God was upon him. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Lord, open our ears to hear your word and our mouths to sing your praises. I've got to admit, my reading of today's gospel passage is heavily coloured by how we use it in our life of pastoral care. If you have a minister who follows Uniting in Worship 2 anyway, who comes and visits someone who is passing away, the prayer we pray is the prayer of Simeon. Lord, let your servant go in peace. We have witnessed your promise. There's nothing more. We can go and be at peace with you. We need nothing more. And it only gets more powerful when you hear the story of our prophetess here. When you hear the story of Anna. Widowed at the latest in her early 20s. A life of prayer and fasting, hope in God, that stretched into her mid-80s, waiting. Wonderful, what wonderful examples of faithfulness. And God was faithful. They saw what was prophesied. Jesus coming. You. And somehow they managed that. Somehow they managed to realize all that before he actually did anything. He was just a baby being held in arms. And if you read that bit of Jewish law, exchange, does it sound your firstborn son for two doves sound pretty cheap? Doesn't. The actual thing is pure lamb. Or if you are unable to afford it, you had the povo pack rate. Doves. It was the pensioner's discount. This child from an insignificant town with insignificant parents was God's hope realized and seen and recognized that day by people of hope. But then I would really love to spend some time with this Galatians passage. But when the fullness of time had come, and why hadn't Simeon and Anna waited a long time for that? God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law. And we see that obedience to the law in the sacrifices made. In order to redeem those who are under the law, so that we, which is a distinct category because it now includes the Gentiles, we might receive adoption as children. And because you are children, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a child. And if a child, then also an heir through God.
Can we go
back to the second one there, please, Mary? Abba, Father. More than just a Swedish band. Abba. In fact, the first words we speak when we say prayer is a translation of Abba. But Father is far less of an adequate translation than Dad. It is the word for Father used there is not the formal before it is the intimate family version name for Father. The Holy Spirit that we've been brought into a new relationship with
God through Jesus Christ.
Come on, go. I'm just going to try something here. Your pardon? No, that should be sufficient, dear. So, there. So, we have this spirit.
This new relationship we have with God.
Now, not all of us are blessed with good relationships with our parents. And not all of us have been blessed with children. The relationship between a parent and a child at its best is one that is based on, and this is an adoptive relationship, this the parent's choice to take that child
and make it a part of their lives,
to put that child's well-being ahead of their own. There's a story in my family of when
I was seven.
We went to Western Australia for a year. Dad taught for a year in Perth. Houses and travelled across the continent, swapped jobs for a year. With teachers could do that in those days. And when we drove, we camped in a three-man tent. A thunderstorm. My sister and I woke up in the morning
and wondered why
Mum and Dad were so tired and generally drained. Little did we know that all through the storm which we slept through, my mother and father
were holding
the tent poles. Of course, in our return to Queensland from Western Australia, Anita and I were camped at Boolya when a major thunderstorm hit. And I held the tent poles while Anita yelled out, David, are you there? Are you still alive? Realising I'm holding metal poles in a thunderstorm. That's the relationship, that selfless care that we see exemplified in Jesus Christ and a new relationship with God.
Next slide. Describing a new way
of the law. Paul describes the law as like a slave relationship. You do what the boss tells you or else you are going to face the boss's consequences.
Slaves, as Jesus said,
are not let in on what the master is doing. The master says you will do this job, and there is only one correct answer. Yes. but we have been made God and heirs of God. Do. Decide. Make reality TV programs, I think.
Or other less savory items. But in Jesus' day,
what did an heir do? This, next slide. The heir worked in the family business. As soon as they could do any part, as soon as they could do any part of the job, they were put to work. Why all those little cattle towns had big families. The more cows you could milk, the more cows you could have on your property. So as soon as kids could milk, guess what they did? We are called, as we enter this new year, to think of how we can treasure time with God in the new year. And to reflect on how that time we spend with God can draw us into the work of God so that God's kingdom can be known and shown here in the Redlands in 2024 and beyond, not through our strength, but rather through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. So let's come and sing, I'll praise my Maker while I've breath.